Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Very good morning to you, church. Shalom. And I want to wish all of you a very blessed Sunday. This morning, we want to continue with our preaching series on spiritual disciplines. And today, we want to explore the role of Scripture in spiritual growth, or you may also call spiritual transformation. And I want to mention to you that spiritual disciplines are not goals. They are means for us to achieve our goal. And our goal for doing this series is at the end, we hope to see transformation in our lives. We hope to see spiritual growth. So the title of my sermon today is The Seven Disciplines of the Psalmist with the Word of God. And the text that I will be preaching from is taken from Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. Let me read to you. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Let us pray, church. Father, we pray, God, that you will come and be our teacher, Lord. Lord, when words are many, Father, I pray that you will keep my mouth from sinning. Lord, may the meditation of my mouth and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Dr. Dallas Willard, as some of you may know him, he started his career as a young pastor in a Baptist church in around 1960. And in his church, he had some of the most faithful believers. They attend church regularly. They attend Bible study. They attend prayer meetings. They pray. They tithe. They do everything that Christians should be doing. And you can also add to the list of what faithful believers are doing. But Dr. Dallas Willard observed that there were very little spiritual growth in their lives. And he didn't know why. As a young pastor, he had already done his best. The best that he learned from the seminary. However, there isn't much growth in their spiritual lives in terms of becoming more like Jesus. Instead, the believers were experiencing what Paul was talking about, the Christian dilemma. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. My brothers and sisters, have you experienced anything like that before in your spiritual life? What you want to do, you do not do. What you do not want to do, you keep on doing. If you are experiencing this today, my brothers and sisters, we have to dig deeper into where spiritual transformation really takes place. And for that, we want to learn from the psalmist's experience. The psalmist asked this question: how can a young person, I believe we can also add old people as well, stay on the path of purity? And he says, by living according to the word of God. And this morning, this is our purpose. We want to learn how the word of God can transform us spiritually. The psalmist shares with us seven disciplines with the word of God. And these seven disciplines are: seek for it, feed your soul with it, study it, memorize it, obey it, dwell in it, and delight in it. And he started by saying, I seek you with all my heart, and do not let me stray from your commands. So the first discipline that the psalmist taught us is that when we want something, we must seek for it. Spiritual transformation starts with a desire to change. We must want it. Nobody can force us if we do not want to have anything to do with it. Spiritual disciplines only work when we have a strong desire to achieve something. Now, my brothers and sisters, there is a big difference between seeking God and seeking God with all my heart. The letter speaks of a wholehearted devotion or a high degree of commitment. Commitment is really a very much needed ingredient if we want to taste any success in growing our spiritual life. So this morning, we are interested to know, how does a person transform from becoming a person that is not seeking God to a person that seeks God half-heartedly to a person who seeks God wholeheartedly? And the answer to this question is the heart. We must begin with our heart. And the psalmist was talking about the heart in two verses in this passage. He mentioned it's a double emphasis that we must focus on our heart if we want to see transformation in our lives. Now, my brothers and sisters, let me share with you very quickly, there are two works that bring about transformation in our lives. One is God's part. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This one is very important, but today we are not going to look into this. And we want to look into the second part, which is our part in spiritual transformation. This is where spiritual disciplines kick in. Spiritual discipline is primarily effort. Spiritual discipline is a must if we want to achieve something. Now, my brothers and sisters, discipline is not a bad word. We tend to relate discipline to punishment. We cannot deny that that is very much part of the process. Correction is very much part of the process of disciplining. But disciplines are also efforts we put in to acquire knowledge and skills that we are not born with. For example, playing a violin, or drawing, or studying law, or cooking. Disciplines are simply efforts we put in to do something repeatedly until we are good at it. As the saying goes, practice makes perfect. So spiritual disciplines are simply effort that we put in to help us grow spiritually. And spiritual disciplines are studying the Word, memorizing the Word, obeying the Word, meditating on the Word. These are all disciplines, effort that we put in to grow in the Lord. And today, my brothers and sisters, we want to go deeper to understand how disciplines and how transformation, how change really take place inside the heart. And now, my brothers and sisters, let me ask you, what makes us want to change? What makes you want to change? Change is hard work, and it is often not pleasant. But what motivates us to change? There is only one thing that can bring a deep and lasting change in us. Dr. Dallas Willard talks about this motivation. He says the spirit or the motivation of the heart of the discipline is love. And the Apostle Paul says this, for Christ's love compels us to live for God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. It is Christ's love that compels us. Now, my brothers and sisters, change takes place when our brokenness and God's unfailing love meet together. This is what I call the tipping point or the crossover point. And quoting Dr. Dallas Willard again, he said that brokenness is the highest rung of the spiritual ladder. He says that this is as far as a believer can go spiritually. There is a possibility that we do not change because we are not broken enough. What is the tipping point? The tipping point is a realization of our bankruptness, our poverty in the spirit, and the realization of the immense richness and the love and the grace of God. Paul says, that point that we can come to is where we no longer put our confidence in the flesh. And you can find this truth in at least two places in the Bible. And this truth is beautifully illustrated for us in the story of the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, as well as the story of the prodigal son. And in the story of the sinful woman, this is what Jesus said to her. She who is forgiven much, loves much. These are really deep words from Jesus. And we can only understand these words when we have ourselves journey through brokenness. And the psalmist say, we must do something to our heart if we want to stay away from sin or if we want to stay on the path of purity. This is what the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, my brothers and sisters, we want to understand the word heart and soul in the Bible. This is very beneficial for us, in my opinion, for us to understand how change can take place inside our heart. And this heart, is you can find that it frequently appears in the Bible. But this word, heart, can be used to mean many different things. Because the ancient writers have no concept of the brain. Anything that is inside the being, anything that is unseen, they will call it the heart. For example, this is a very famous verse that the Israelites recite even until today. Every day it's called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The word heart in the Bible, in Hebrew, it means, it's called levav, levav. In general, it means the ruling center of the human life. It is like the control tower of a human being. The heart controls everything. How we think, how we feel, and how we make decisions. That's controlled by the heart. That's levav. But this word heart is also used to mean every other things in the Bible. So we must not be confused by this word. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 25, verse 37, it is used to mean a body part. Nabal had a heart attack. He became like a stone. And it is also used for emotion. For example, in Psalm 51, 17, a broken and a contrite heart is used to express an emotion. And it's also used to express our thoughts, describe the mind. Like, for example, in 1 Kings, Solomon asked for wisdom so that he knew how to rule Israel. And it is also sometimes used to describe will, the desires of our heart. God grants us the desires of our heart. Now, the word soul, the Bible word is nephesh. Nephesh in Hebrew means throat. And this word nephesh in the Bible is different from the word in English. The English word is very much influenced by Greek philosophers. The English word, when we mention soul, many people will think that it is a being, a something, a spirit that is trapped inside our body, that spirit that lives on after we die. This is the English word for it. But the Bible word is actually throat. And these words appear more than 700 times in the Bible. And it is used when the Israelites were in the desert, when they were thirsty. Their nephesh is longing for water, thirsting for water. Their throat was thirsting for water. And it is also used to describe spiritual thirst. For example, in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. It is also used for spiritual thirst. Nephesh is used for spiritual thirst as well. And this word also used to describe the entire being of a human being, including the body. Like, for example, in Acts chapter 27, this word was used to describe the number of passengers in the ship that went into the storm. So the soul looks something like this. The soul is a combination of the body, which is visible, and the heart, including the organ, which is invisible. Invisible. Now, this is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, the spiritual transformation process. The spiritual transformation process begins with the mind. Basically, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we feed our mind with enough of the Word of God or anything that is positive, we will begin to change. Especially the Word of God, because it has power. When we take in the Word of God into our mind, the renewing process begins. And the process of taking the Word of God into our mind is actually a spiritual discipline. And this is what the psalmist had said. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not sin. The psalmist watches what goes into his mind, watches what goes into his heart. And at this juncture, I want to share with you a video. Okay, this video is called The Keeper of the Stream. So let's take a few moments to watch this video, because this video really illustrates about the importance of us giving attention to our soul. And we tend it, we keep it so that it becomes healthy, because life flows from our heart. Let us watch the video. The psalmist shares with us two disciplines of feeding the soul. The first discipline is studying scriptures, studying or learning the scriptures. He says, praise be to you, God. Teach me your decrees. Teach me your decrees. Be a student of the word. Learn verse by verse or precept by precept, one at a time. This is how we study the Word of God. And systematic reading is also good. We can learn book by book, or we can learn the Bible in chronological order. And some people use a guide to study the Bible the whole year. There are plenty of resources that we can use that is available in the market. And the second thing that the psalmist urge us to do is to memorize scriptures. He says, with my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Memorizing scriptures. When I was younger, just like Dr. Thomas, I was able to memorize quite a bit of scriptures. But as I grow older, it's also becoming very difficult for me. So what I do is that I memorize keywords. I basically know where these passages are. I know that it is in the Bible, but I cannot know which verse or which chapter. Okay? And brothers and sisters, please feel free to use Google to search. Okay? Google is not from the devil. And the psalmist also says about the importance of the discipline of obeying Scripture. My brothers and sisters, we study Scripture is not for our knowledge, but we study Scripture to obey it. We study scripture to obey it. We start by obeying what we already know. And this is one of the disciplines that you can do. When you face with a problem in life or a situation, it is very, very helpful for you to ask, what is the Word of God saying about my situation? For example, you fall in love with a guy or with a girl, and the guy or the girl is not a believer, and you are doubtful. You do not know what the Word of God says about this. So you go to the Word of God, find out what does the Word of God say about this. And this is one of the ways we can learn to obey scriptures. And the psalmist says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. The psalmist knows the worth of scripture. He treasures the scripture like one treasures great riches in life. My brothers and sisters, do you treasure the Word of God? Do you treat the Word of God like something that you love deeply in your life? And the psalmist also talked about the discipline of dwelling in Scripture. Dwelling in Scripture means setting your mind on Scriptures. For this, I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to listen to the sermon of Dr. Thomas Chin 2 weeks ago, if you have not listened to it. He was talking about meditation, right? This is a very, very important spiritual discipline that we can adopt as a believer. Meditate on the Word of God. I meditate on your precepts, says the psalmist. And I consider your ways. I consider your ways. I learn how to live by looking at examples of Jesus, of God's character, of Apostle Paul, or even some other Bible characters, and how they live, how they respond to situations. We consider their ways because these are the examples that God has given us so that we can learn. And lastly, the discipline of delighting in scriptures. Delighting in scriptures. My brothers and sisters, do you love the Word of God? Do you delight in the Word of God? One of the things you can do is that when you wake up in the morning, you can ask God for a passage or even a song. And many songs have scriptures in it. And this is one of the things that I really like to do when I wake up. I just stay on my bed for a while and allow God to put a scripture into my heart, or to put a song. Sometimes it's scripture, sometimes it's a song, sometimes it's a thought, but it is God speaking very early in the morning when our brain is still very fresh. It is really very, very good to cultivate the habit of starting our day with scripture. And many times, when we do this, we will find that this scripture that we begin our day with will stay with us throughout the day. And it helps to guide our decisions It helps to guide our thoughts. And my brothers and sisters, many times, strangely, it also happened to me that the passage that I woke up with is God speaking in the situation, in my situation for that day. And many of the times I felt encouraged. I felt that God is really alive. God really cares about what is going on in my life every day. Before that thing happened, God already knew. Isn't it wonderful, my brothers and sisters? With that, I want to conclude my sermon. We learn from the psalmist today his seven disciplines with the Word of God. We need to seek for the Word of God. We need to feed our soul with the Word of God. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to obey it. We need to dwell in it, set our mind on it, and we need to delight in it. Scripture is key in the process of God transforming our inner being. My brothers and sisters, I began my sermon this morning by talking about the psalmist, how he was able to keep himself away from sin and stay on the path of purity. And when I was preparing this sermon, I recall an incident that happened to me about 10 years ago. At that time, I was still working in Singapore on weekdays, and on weekend I come back to my family. And I want to share with you this verse from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Over here, Solomon asked a rhetorical question. He said, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched?" Obviously, if you walk on coals, you will be burned. And 10 years ago, this is a true story that happened to me. After work, I was together with a group of friends. We were having some food and drinks at a restaurant and a bar in Suntec City, Singapore. Right? For those of you who have been to Suntec City. And that place was quite a crowded restaurant. Quite a lot of people were in that restaurant. I cannot remember how many of us were there, but probably about 5 or 6 of us, all male. And sitting next to our table, there were three ladies. And one of the ladies was actually facing me. And I must say that she's actually quite attractive, right? And occasionally, we caught each other's eyes. And this happened a few times in that restaurant. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, truthfully, I was not sending any signal to her. But for a moment, I was tempted. I felt like Tony Leung. My ego was inflated. And I was sitting there and was a little bit uncomfortable and trying not to look up at the lady. And after a while, I went to the toilet. And the toilet was actually quite a distance away. And after finishing my business, I came out and I saw that girl standing right in front of me at the toilet, staring at me. And at that time, I was really shocked. You know, I didn't really know what to do. But something inside me told me to walk quickly and run. So I went straight to the table and I sat there. And that night, I went back to my hotel room and was reflecting about that situation, about what could have actually happened on that day if it wasn't the Word of God that was in my heart. My brothers and sisters, I can testify to you what the psalmist say is really, really very helpful to keep us away from sin. And it's not just that, but it can help us to grow spiritually. The Word of God is really powerful. It's like Paul told Timothy that Scripture is profitable to us. Thank you for listening, and let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, that your word is truly like a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Without your word, O God, we are truly lost and we are directionless. Father, we pray that today, Father, we will realize how important it is, Lord, the Word of God to us, Lord, that we will learn how to take in the Word of God into our lives. So, Father, we pray that through your Spirit, O God, you will help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, please receive this benediction. May our God and our Father work in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His great purpose. May you be blameless and pure. Be children of God that is without fault in a warped and crooked generation, that you will shine among them like stars in the universe. Amen. God bless you, church.